There's a lot of pain and sorrow in this world. There's a lot of pain going on right now in the hearts of many families. And to those families and to any of us that are suffering, embrace the cross. That's where Jesus is. If you could tune your spiritual ears right now, just try this. Tune your spiritual ears. Can you hear the angel's wings folding? As the God of the universe, it's ready to receive their worship. Can you hear that? I'm talking about one angel that if he stood here, we'd all be gone. And they bend themselves and bow their faces to the God of the universe. And he is in here, God. He's here today. I was sitting there and I was wondering, why is it that I get sweaty palms whenever I'm going to get up here? I know all of you. You've seen me, I've seen you, we've talked, we've visited, and yet and it's not because of you. It's because I see God looking at me and saying, are you going to present what I have put in your heart? And I'm scared. Yes, he is my friend and he's my companion and he's my buddy, but he's also God of the universe. Abraham was called. God asked him to do something. Moses was called. God asked him to do something. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, they were called and they were asked to do something. The disciples were called and they were asked to do something. And don't think we get off easy either, because you and I were called. And God, Jesus Christ himself, asked you to do something. And one of our brothers was called, and the Lord put in his heart to do something. Kevin Jepson was called. In his heart, Christ called. called him many, many years back. And he was asked to do something. And I'm going to call Kevin. Kevin, come up here. Kevin Jepson has had a burden in his heart. And we want to share that a little bit with you this morning. Last Christmas, you were doing what dads are supposed to do. You're fixing your daughter's car. And you went out to get some parts early in the morning, Sunday. And you were driving, and what did you see?
Well, as I pulled off the freeway, I saw a bum standing beside the road holding his sign.
We've seen him. There's that. You probably said, there's the bum. But I don't know if you said that. What happened? What was going in your heart?
Well, because of some other things that we will talk about a little later, I just felt impressed to do something for him.
Mm-hmm. So you said a prayer for him and waved at him.
I didn't. I said the prayer for him.
But tell us what you did.
Well, I went and got my car parts, and on my way back, it was blowing and cold and kind of mixed rain and snow, and so I pulled into Carl's Jr., and I bought him, and I remember now, two or three spicy chicken sandwiches for a buck, and a great big, because they didn't have hot chocolate, I bought him a big thing of coffee.
You have that in your hand. You can't go back to him. I'm sure you couldn't find parking where they always find the worst place to stand. And
yeah, he's standing right in the corner there, and there's nowhere to park. And so I parked about a quarter of a mile down the road and walked back up to him. And I was really cold by the time I got there.
And I'm sure so was he.
Very.
Share with us what you did, his reaction.
Well, you say by the time I got there, I was shaking, not only from the nerves, but from the cold. And so I just walked up to him, and I handed him the bag and the coffee. And I said, just, I want you to know that God loves you. And I left.
God loves you. And he looked at you like, what is this crazy guy doing? What was his reaction?
I was kind of taken back. I expected, you know, the typical, you know, thank you, and he goes on. But as I handed it to him, he teared up. And he basically wasn't able to say much. He just said, thank you.
And that's when you teared up and turned around.
Yes.
And left. High grace, low risk. Share with us a little bit about high grace, low risk.
You know, if he gets me started, he may not have much time today, so I'll try to keep this as short as possible. God did lay on my heart that we need to serve. I am what would be considered a low-risk type person. I'm not going to go knocking on doors. I'm not one to hand out tracts. I'm struggling with a visitation, but I will do it because I believe God has called me. Low risk is something that anybody can do and feel comfortable. High grace is because everything we do, no matter how small or how big it is, it's worthless unless God gives his grace to it.
Amen. Now, this, what you're doing, you're doing this because you want people to come into church, right?
No. This is not about bringing people into the church. Do I want them to come to church? Absolutely. But that's not what this is about. This is about meeting the needs of people where they are, showing them that in a practical way that God loves them.
There's something going to happen this evening at 7 o'clock. Would you share with that?
And I would invite each one of you, if you want to come. At 7 o'clock this evening, we're going to have a Vespers. We're going to start out with just some music. I'm going to tell you some stories. I'm going to give you 7 reasons to minister very quick. And then we're going to discuss what we can do, if you want to be a part of High Grace, Low Risk Ministries.
Now, this is something for everybody?
No, not necessarily. And I have to be careful when I say this, but some of you don't come. If you're not high grace, low risk, you probably don't want to be involved. Low risk is for people like me who don't feel comfortable going up and talking to people. If you feel real comfortable about boldly going in front of people and saying, God loves you, here, let's have a Bible study, don't come. Because it will make the rest of us feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes it will make the people that we're servicing feel uncomfortable. This is about people who don't mind going out and getting dirty and getting no thanks for it whatsoever.
Let's say I want to do what you're doing and participate. And one Sunday morning, I'm feeling that, oh, here we go again, another thing I have to go to. What would you suggest that I do?
Stay in bed. This is about being called. This is about feeling God working in your life and wanting to respond. This is not about a pressure. If you don't want to be here, I don't want you there. God doesn't want you there. This is about feeling called by God to do a specific duty. And sometimes you're going to want to be there, then come. Sometimes you're not going to want to be there, don't come. No pressure.
I asked Kevin, what about if you make the call and no one showed up?
I'm good with it. This is something that God laid on my heart. I'm going to do this. If anybody else shows up, you say, I have to be politically correct in some of the things they say. I don't care if anybody shows up. That's not what this is about. This is one more opportunity that this church has to minister. If it fits within what you're doing, praise the Lord, come and join in. If it doesn't, then find something else to do.
I like that. Because when he was presenting this to the church board and the elders, that was one of the things. What about if the church did not approve? What did you say?
The backside of this card has the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church on it and our website. If the church would have said no, the backside of this card would have had my name on it, or no name at all. I'm glad the church said yes, but I don't care if they did or not.
Because this is a personal ministry that God has put in Kevin's heart. And he's going to do this regardless. Kevin, thank you very much. And you have something to say.
I do. Pastor asked me once why. And I'm told I can't read this, and so I'll try not to, but sometimes when you get up here, my palms are very sweaty, and I get nervous, and I forget, so I may have to read some of this. Simply put, Pastor, God asked me to. To explain it a little better, a wise man once told me, when God comes back, he's not going to ask you, how many souls did you bring to the kingdom? He's going to ask you, did you do what I ask you to do? In about 1984, I made a deal with God. God held up his end of the deal. And today, because of that, I have a beautiful wife and three fantastic kids who each one have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My end of the deal was that I would never say no as long as I felt that it was God calling me. And I'm tired. I'm tired of the sin in this world. I'm tired of the separation that it causes. Separation from my kids who are grown up now, and one's in Albany and one's in Tennessee. The separation from my dad. The separation from friends. I'm tired of what this world has. I'm tired of the sin that every day oppresses us. I'm just tired. And so my prayer has always been, God, use me. Sometimes God says, you need to stretch. Sometimes, and in this case, God said, I know you, and you'll feel more comfortable doing this. And that's why high grace, low risk. And one other thing. St. Francis of Assisi once said, we must minister all the time. And sometimes use words.
Amen. So if you're interested, tonight at 7, there'll be a Vespers. If you're interested, if you want to just come and I'm going to go and just see what this is all about. No commitments. This evening, 7 o'clock. So we all know the story. The story that Jesus told to a lawyer when he was asking questions. And it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember that story? And even, you know, people around the world, even if they have not heard of the story, or if they don't even know that Jesus told that story, they do know what a good Samaritan is. They have the concept of what a good Samaritan is. Now let's review that story a little bit. Jesus used this story to help us or to illustrate that we must love people around us. So the lawyer is there. He asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus looked at him and said, well, what do you think you have to do? And this is what the lawyer answered there in Luke 10:27. He said, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and love yourself, your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus probably smiled and said to him, okay, yeah, you know what to do. That's very good. Now go and do it. You have the theory down pretty well. But now go put it in practice. And then I like the next part, because the lawyer, he's trying to justify what he's not doing. And then he says, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Which probably makes me think that this gentleman was very, very religious, but he was not much fun to be around. Have you met people like that? People that they find it easier to love God, but they can't love the person that they're sitting next to. There are two things that are combined here, sort of like the fruit of the Spirit. It's kindness and goodness. Two attributes that, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't even be thinking about those attributes. They should be part of us. To be kind and to have goodness toward people. And let me ask you a question. Why should we be kind to others? Why? Especially, why should we be kind to those that are not kind to us. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's very easy to love people that like me and love me. It's easy. And it starts getting a little bit challenging when, you know, people are not very nice to me. And then it gets even more challenging when people have been really, really mean to me. Why should we be kind to others? Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at three texts. If you do not bring a Bible, there should be one right there in front of you in the pew. So, if you would open your Bible to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verse 32. Why should we be kind to others? Ephesians 4:32. It simply says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, why should we be kind to others? Because simply we are commanded to do so. Ephesians 4:32. Let's look at another text. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. First Thessalonians 5:15. This is what the Word of God says. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always. What did it say? Did it say sometimes? It says, always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Another translation puts it, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. And Solomon, the wisest man, in some stages of his life, Proverbs 3, chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 3. Proverbs 3, 3. Let not your mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, it says. Proverbs 3:3. Basically, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them, better yet, write them on the tablet of your heart. Very important. Now let's take a look at the story of the Good Samaritan. Going from Jerusalem to Jericho, a man, a certain man, was walking. And the Bible says that there are some thieves that jumped him, threatened him, beat him, took his clothes, and left them, the Bible says, half dead. So that means he was half alive. They took everything. And there he was, lying on the ground as the thief left. Left to die. And then the Bible says that there came a priest. He walked by, looked at the situation, scoped the situation, analyzed it, and he walked on the other side and left. Oh, no. You can't. Don't look at their eyes. The bum, don't look at their eyes. When you're driving, just look straight ahead. Because if you make eye contact, you're going to start feeling guilty. So don't, just turn to the other side. We sometimes do that, don't we? We see people with the signs, I will work for food. And some are, you know, anything helps. Please help. I need help. And sometimes we just don't want to be bothered. Sometimes we look at the situation and we say, that's too bad. And we go drive and I wish you well and your family. I hope the Lord will keep you warm and will feed you. But so far, like James, like the scripture reading, so far, nothing has been done about meeting the needs of that person. Or maybe then we judge them and say, well, if they would have handled their money better, they wouldn't be in that situation. He's younger than I am. He should get a job. And the wife next to him, she could get a cleaning job too. Looks like they're able to work. But is that what Jesus commands us to do? So a second man comes, Levite. He comes, he looks at the situation, he looks at the man, and then he looks all around because he's afraid for himself. He said, what about if those thieves are hiding behind a rock somewhere, and here I am, all by myself. This guy can't help me. He's half dead. So he takes off. Sometimes we are fearful for our lives, and I could understand. There was that little girl that was kidnapped because the parents got someone from the street to come and help them at the house. Then that guy returned and took that little girl. Remember that story? And yes, I could go on and mention other cases where the person was invited to the home to eat and did the unthinkable. But does that mean that we cannot help people? Sometimes we're afraid to help because we think, well, I don't want that to happen to me or my family. And the question is, can we help without putting ourselves in danger? Can we help without putting ourselves in danger? You know, a lot of people drive and they see a family stranded, the flat tire, getting to be a little bit of evening, and so they say, I don't want to stop because that, I heard that story that the people stopped and they killed him and took their car. Well, praise the Lord for technology, because now you could just call and say, you know, hey, you know, Highway Patrol or 911, there's a family that's needing help. Maybe they don't have a phone. You could call for them. Can you put, you know, can you help is the question that you need to be asking yourself. Can you help without putting your family in danger? You know, sometimes we find creative ways of doing things. We could probably find creative ways of helping without putting our families in danger. I was thinking, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, I'm in heaven. Praise the Lord. And an angel comes to me and taps me on the shoulder. Not my guardian angel, another angel. He taps me on the shoulder and he says, hey, we're glad you're here. Well, it's not because of me, it's because of God. Because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. And then he asks, hey, remember that time I was trying to make eye contact with you and you didn't want to look at me when you were in that corner? Huh? Yeah. Don't you remember that? Beard about this long and stinky coat. I had that sign. I even misspelled it. You remember that? Probably have to fall on my knees and say, I'm sorry. And he'll say, get up. Remember what angels did when people try to praise? Get up. It's not me that deserves the honor and praise. Praise God. And so a third man came along. Jesus telling the story. A Samaritan. Now, if you know the story, the Jews, they didn't like Samaritans. They were like, well, I'm not going to say anything. They were like, they didn't like people. And so this man comes, he looks at the situation. He takes pity on the man. And the Bible says, as Jesus tells it, that this man bent down, cleaned him up, probably tore some of his clothing to bandage the wounds, put oil, got him all well, lifted him up and helped him all the way to the next city. Have you ever tried helping someone that sprained their ankle, broke their leg, and you have to, support your weight plus the weight of someone else? That's hard work. And he carried them at times probably and finally got them to the other city. And here he went into the inn, paid for that night so the man could rest, paid for his food so the man could eat. And in the morning at 11 o'clock, checkout time, he goes to the person in charge and says, here's two more days. And if he takes any more time, you know me, I'm coming back this way again. And whatever he owes, I will pay for. You know, Jesus did the same for us. Jesus did not turn his face. Jesus did not look at the situation and say, well, they got themselves in that situation. Let them handle it. God so loved that he gave. And because Jesus did the same for us, he commands us to do likewise. How many of you have heard the song, The Sheep and the Goats? I like all the excuses that people give, or would give, or can give, when the Lord would ask you, well, why didn't you feed me? Well, Lord, I didn't know you were hungry. And that song, it says, are you hungry now? He asked one of the angels, want to go get the Lord some food? And then the question, well, why didn't you clothe me? Lord, I didn't know what size you were. Why didn't you visit me in prison? The Lord says, yes. I read your magazines. I saw your television programs. I did some of your Bible studies. But why didn't you visit me? And in that song, which is basically what Scripture says, the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. So what can we do when someone is in distress? What can we do when someone is needing help? Well, one of the things that we could do, and we all do this, is pray. Prayer is important. We need to pray. As a matter of fact, I'm sensing that the time of Jesus Christ's return gets closer and closer. But you see, when that's happening, you and I need to begin to pray more and more. So pray. After you're done praying, then meet the physical need. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, remember, you can't put yourself in danger or your family, so find a creative way of meeting the person's need. And this is where high grace, low risk comes in, because at Vesper times, we're going to hand out little cards, and if you know of needs of people, you can hand them in. Kevin is willing to do that. And like he said, if you can't do it, this is what the Lord put in his heart. But if you want to come along and do what the Lord has instructed us, commanded us to do, then you're welcome to come. And another thing that I've noticed, what I've experienced, is that sometimes people just need someone that they could talk to. They need someone that's willing to listen. Can you be that listening ear to that person that's in need? Years ago, John Wesley told these to Christians. He told this to the Christians, which I believe it's applicable today also. He said this, and I'm sorry for the words getting cut off there, but he said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's 250 years ago. Is it applicable today? Yes, it is. It is applicable today. Do all the good you can. By all the means, in all the ways, in all the places, at all times, with all the people, as long as you have breath in you, do that. Why? God asks you to. You need a better reason? Why should we do that? Well, how much did God give to you? How much did Jesus Christ give to you? He gave it all. He gave it all. And I just pray that that's a motivation. His love could be the motivation of our love to others. We're going to sing our closing song. We are His hands. We are His hands. Sometimes we have work bees here at the church. And sometimes we don't get a very good response sometimes. And it seems like maybe we think that, since it's God's house, let him take care of it. But in our reality, we are God's hands. And he's asking you to be part of his plan. And how does God, he's in the business of miracles, and he could feed everybody in this planet right now with just a single snap of his fingers. Can he do that? My God can. But he chooses you and I to be able to help others. We are his hands to touch the world around us. Shall we stand? You get the words there. We are his. We'll sing it. Father, we stand here recognizing that at times we have failed, and that we have seen your children at times suffering, and we haven't done anything about it. Father, I'm praying that you may help us. Help us to recognize. Help us to see the need. Help us to implement something, a plan that will relieve the suffering and the pain and the physical needs of your children. And we'll narrow it down on your children here in the Rogue Valley. Guide us. Impress us on what we need to do. We're struggling financially. We sometimes struggle physically. We sometimes struggle emotionally. And yet you have asked us to be of help to others. Please help us to love people just the way you love them. To see people as someone that needs Jesus in their life. It's a soul that needs to be saved. The soul that Jesus loves and needs to be helped. We are your eyes. We are your hands. We are your feet. Direct us. Lead us. Guide us. Take us where we need to go. It is my prayer for myself, for my congregation, for your people. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.